and we talked about the gardening display at Barnes & Noble. You have to run out there and see it.
Yes, it's and we highly encourage you to go out and buy your gardening person Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate at the end of the year, because it won't be available and right. You'll be able to surprise them.
Yeah, this is National Gardening Month, so all of the stores and nurseries and things have displays, special items they brought in, but also too the bookstores. It's springtime, and so it's a great time. Get a box, mark where you just put it down in your phone, just make a note to yourself of where you hide your Christmas gifts.
Create a new note in your phone that says items are here.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, we're just going to have a great time. Howie Peterson Nursery in Lakeland at 9:30. They're going to have a class on fertilizer, what's in the bag. So you want to go out there and take an opportunity to listen and get some great plants there. Quality Green Specialist, they have some wonderful, wonderful trees right now. Natives, lots of natives at Quality Green Nursery in DeLand. So stop by and tell Dana we said hello, and it'll be wonderful. Dirty word of the day.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is pyrophyte. Pyrophyte, P-Y-R-O-P-H-Y-T-E. It was coined in 1928. Pyrophytes are plants which have adapted to tolerate fire and even need fire to reproduce. Fire acts favorably for some species, and passive pyrophytes resist the effects of fire, particularly when it passes over quickly, and hence can outcompete less resistant plants, which are damaged. Now, some of these passive plants are like the Sequoia sempervirens, with remainings of a fire older than 100 years. The Sequoia resists fire with adaptations, including thick bark, tissue with high moisture content, or underground storage structures. Other varieties or other species of plants, the longleaf pine, which is native to Florida, the giant sequoia, the coastal redwood, cork oak, and Venus flytraps. I think that's incredible where you have the largest tree one of the largest trees in the world, the giant sequoia, and then you have a little ground plant called the Venus flytrap resists fire, that needs fire. This grows low to the ground in acid marshes, and the Venus flytrap resists fires passing over due to being close to the moist soil. In fact, Venus flytraps, because fire is suppressed and we don't get the fires that we normally do, its species is threatened in its natural environment.
Oh, wow.
Because it doesn't get fire.
Didn't have a clue.
Yeah. For some species of pine, such as Aleppo pine, European black pine, and lodgepole pine, the effects of fire can be antagonistic. If moderate, it helps pine cones burst, which disperses the seed and the cleaning of the underwoods. If it's intense, it destroys these resinous trees, and it will you will lose the species. Active pyrophytes have a similar competing advantage to passive pyrophytes, but they contain volatile oils and hence encourage the incidence of fire, which are beneficial to them. Pyrophyte plants, like the eucalyptus in Australia, actually encourage the spread of fires by producing inflammable oils and are dependent on their resistance to the fire to keep other species of trees from invading their habitat. So, evolution, 99-million-year-old amber preserved fossils of Phylacca species belonging to the modern pyrophytic genus Fleca shows clear adaptations to fire, including pubescence, needle-like leaves, further affirmed by the presence of burned plant remains. So this indicates that frequent fires have exerted an evolutionary pressure on the flowering plants ever since their origins in the Cretaceous era, and that has been over 99 million years ago. So the dirty word of the day is pyrophyte, and it is the encouragement plants that need to have fire or some type of fire activity, fire event in their life to continue the species.
You know, my brain is so warped. Anyway, I'm going to try to pull this one in, rein it in fast before I finish opening my mouth. So I would like that to be my superhero name. How do you spell that?
P-Y-R-O-P-H-Y-T-E, pyrophyte.
That's it. That's my superhero name.
So then you get to use that in it some way. Find a way to use it in conversations this week, yes. Pyrophyte, and just say, I haven't seen the pine cones bursting, you know, with their seeds. Because when you open up, the fire heats the pine cone up so much, it splits it open, and the seeds can come out. And then they get planted by Mother Nature, and they reproduce. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Randy Schultz is our guest, and he is the owner of Schultz Communications, editor of the award-winning website Home Garden and a Homestead. And I love to have him on because he's always giving me great ideas on his website, and I want to pass them along to you. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Hi, Teresa. I'm doing great.
Thank you for joining us this morning. It's National Gardening Month, and I wanted to talk about an excellent article you have on your website, Home Garden and Homestead, that is very appropriate for Florida. But first, there's been mosquitoes in the news this week, and you want to talk about what is happening with mosquitoes right now in the United States.
Well, especially down in your part of the world, as it warms up, and it becomes mosquito season. In nearby Puerto Rico, there's an outbreak of dengue fever, which is not a good thing this early in the year. And it reminds us that mosquitoes are disease-carrying pests, and you got to be proactive when it comes to controlling mosquito populations.
You're so right. And every time I hear about these new diseases or these infectious diseases, dengue fever, it's not something to joke with. So how can we protect our yards?
Well, one of the things you want to do for sure is to reduce the amount of standing water in your yard. Because as you know, mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water, and that's where the larvae develops into adult mosquitoes. So if you've got a place in your yard where water collects, you try to get rid of that water, whether it's the saucer underneath a potted plant or whatever. In the cases of bird baths and rain barrels, you want to put a chunk of a mosquito dunk in that standing water. And the active ingredient in mosquito dunks is called BTI, and it naturally kills mosquito larvae, but it is harmless to everything else. It's a wonderful insect control product because it's so specific.
It is. It's really a great product, and I appreciate you telling us this. And as we get closer to hurricane season, which is only 50 days away, then we're going to see rain, and it's going to be sitting in our yards and, you know, just filling places that we don't normally look at. So everybody should kind of take a look at their yard and see where water collects, right?
Absolutely. Be proactive about it.
Yeah, that's great. So this week, there was announced that the number one largest retirement community in the world and the fastest growing retirement community. Did you see the article?
I did. And guess what? The place is in Florida, isn't it?
Shocker, right? So tell us where the what amazed me was the number one in the world. So where is it?
Well, it's the Villages, isn't it?
It is. It's the Villages, and it is the fastest growing retirement community. And so one of our good friends at GardenCom International is Toni Gattone, and she is an expert in adaptive gardening and featured on your website, Home Garden and Homestead. So what does adaptive gardening do for senior citizens?
Well, you know, it's a pretty simple concept, but it's a broad concept in that the idea is you adapt your garden and your gardening practices to accommodate your changing capabilities as you age, right?
Right.
Aging is part of life. And a lot of seniors have been gardening for a long time, and they find that their bodies are maybe not as strong and not as flexible as they used to be. So adaptive gardening is all about making some smart changes in what you do when you garden. And also where you plant and what you do in the garden.
So how can we adapt to these changes that we don't really physically hurt our bodies, or we do, you know, we make mistakes? What can we do to adapt?
Well, I mean, some of them are pretty simple. I mean, do a little exercise warm up before you get out there and do something physical like gardening. You know, when you're in your 20s, you just go outside and you do stuff, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in your 60s and 70s, it's probably a good idea to kind of ease into it. Stretch a little bit. Don't put too much stress on your knees or your back. There's all kinds of practices, and it's just a good idea to be aware of your physical abilities and maybe you can't do everything you used to do in your 20s.
Yeah, that's true. We're finding that out now. So is there any kind of tools that can help us adapt to gardening and help make it easier?
Absolutely. And there's a story on my website, homegardenandhomestead.com, by our friend Toni Gattone. It's all about garden tools for seniors. And she wrote a great summary of her favorite tools and some of her favorite gardening practices as an older gardener. And one of the things you got to think about is, are the tools you've been using maybe for years or even decades, do they still suit you and your body and your level of strength? One of the things I talk about a lot is garden pruners, maybe the most used garden tool in the yard. If you're using an older pair of pruners, chances are it wasn't designed to be that ergonomic, that comfortable and efficient in your hand. So there are tools such as an adjustable grip pair of pruners from Corona, where you can actually dial in the fit of the handles in your hand. Remarkable little device that just makes that part of gardening easier.
So it's kind of like riding a 10-speed bike, and as you going up the hill and it's getting harder to pedal, you just adjust the brakes and the gears, and you can pedal easier. And so is that what ergonomics is, or what ergonomics is?
Well, you know, ergonomics is basically the way your body works and doing things as efficiently and easily as possible. And your description of the gears on a 10-speed bike fit perfectly with the idea of this adjustable grip pruner, because that's exactly what you do. You adjust how the handles work. You know, how much pressure do you need? How wide are the handles? And it just makes it easier to do simple things like, you know, trimming a shrub or whatever.
And so you know, sometimes I don't make it out back out to the garden shed, and I leave my tools on the patio. And here in Florida, we get, you know, that humidity, and you know, even some rain sprinkle in, you know, with the wind gets washed into the patio area, and the tools get rusty. What can we do for that to make, you know, so that we don't have to deal with that as we get older?
Well, for one, don't forget to bring your tools in.
I shouldn't have asked that.
But seriously, a wet tool can get to be a rusty tool, and tools as they are used over the years, they especially cutting tools, they lose their sharpness, right? So you want to keep the blades clean and sharp. So obviously, put your tools away when you're done with them. But get yourself something like a diamond tool sharpener, a little handheld device that helps you quickly and easily sharpen the blades of your pruners, of your whatever you're using to cut with, hedge trimmers. Keep those blades sharp, and it also applies to the shovels. You know, remember, a shovel has a cutting edge, the part that goes into the ground. Keep that clean and sharp as well. It all that works to make tools easier to use.
That's important. Now, Tony, my husband, is the weeder in our house. He likes to go out and weed. Do you have anything that makes weeding easier for senior citizens?
Well, Tony's favorite weeder is called a radius weeder, and it's kind of a interesting looking device. The weeding blade is long and it tapers, so you can really get into to dig out weeds. But the handle is the interesting thing. It's actually got quite a curve to it, and when you pick it up, it just feels better in your hand. And because the handle is curved, depending on how your hand works and how it feels in your hand, you can grip the handle in different places, and it just is easier to use. It takes a lot of the labor out of digging a weed out. She likes that one. I love my Cobra Head weeder, mm-hmm. because I think it's one of the more efficient ways to kind of dig deeply into the dirt and grab the weed by its roots.
So Mother's Day and Father's Day is coming up, and we have a lot of grandfathers and grandmothers who garden, especially here in Florida. And so how can our listeners find these great tools, ergonomic tools for senior citizens?
Well, go to homegardenandhomestead.com, and the first story that comes up is called Best Garden Tools for Seniors. And it's got a half a dozen recommended tools, all about them, how to use them, pictures of them. That's a good place to start.
I know my Tony loves his Cobra Head weeder, and it's wonderful. I'm going to check out the radius too as well. Thank you so much, Randy. I certainly do appreciate it. You have a great weekend.
Thanks, Teresa. You too.
All right. That's Randy Schultz. He's the editor of Home, Garden, and Homestead. This is a wonderful, wonderful website for home, gardening, and homestead, DIYers, and all kinds of great information for everyone, even no matter where you are in the country.
Again, I mean, I know you might want to purchase that tool just because, you know, it's that time of year.
It is, and you can give it for Christmas.
There you go. I don't know why we're pumping out Christmas and Hanukkah, but you know what? I like to be prepared.
I do too. And, you know, it's just when you see it, get it, because if not, it may not be there, you know, at Christmas time. So I want to thank Randy Schultz. He's a wonderful guy. He has his finger on the pulse of gardening. And we have the number one retirement community in the United States and the world. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you know someone who loves to garden or has a gardening question, please let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens. You can tell them to call in with their gardening questions at 1-888-455-4545. 2967, or you can text me at 23680. And if you missed any of today's shows, you can go and hear Better Lawns and Gardens on betterlawns.com. And Lizzie, that is uploaded directly after on betterlawns.com, directly after the show.
Correct.
But I will be dropping the podcast every Monday. Right. So that's kind of changing. So on the Facebook page, it will be on Monday's Facebook posts.
Yes, yes. So you can catch a show right after and over the weekend if you missed anything. We need it right away. But, you know, a lot of us get busy on the weekend because we need to learn to enjoy the weekend. So then you can go back to the Facebook page and catch it there also.
You can listen to it 24/7 then. So I just want to let everyone know that that's great for us to be able to do that for you. So if you have a gardening question, you can also go to the website betterlawns.com and send me an email. And so we have some great text messages here. So Jim and Weeky Watch, he says, my blackberries had a disease last year, causing them to produce double berries from the extreme heat. Will this affect the plant going forward? No, but there's certain varieties of blackberries that are associated with the double berry. Okay, it's not going to affect it in the future. In fact, the double berries are still good. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you've got extreme heat, that's, you know, every year that's going to be an issue. And I would, you know, they do take partial shade. So if you want to protect them from the sun just a little bit, once the flowers are there, then you maybe can, you know, prevent it from happening. But it is something that is common to certain varieties of blackberries. And so, you know, I appreciate you letting me know about that, Jim. And so let me work on it a little bit more and see if we can find out, you know, if there is something that we can do to prevent it even more. Carol in Tallahassee says, did you say at some point that azalea fertilizer is good for blueberries too? Yes, it is an acidic fertilizer and blueberries need acidity. And so you can use any acidic fertilizer from Espoma to azalea fertilizer that will be just fine. Camellias and gardenias, you can put down on it too as well. Rick in Palm Bay says, can you please tell me the proper time to trim my hedge of autograph plants? The hedge I like to keep at 6 foot height. You cut them once a year, Rick, at 6 foot high. You can bring it down a wee bit. You can cut it. You can bring it down to 3 feet. Use pruners. Do not use hedge trimmers. Okay, you don't want to rip the leaves. You want to just cut the stems and the branches. You can do that in late March to April. So now is the time to go ahead and do that. Great timing, Rick. That's great. I love it. Now the autograph plant. You can literally write your name on the leaves. They're large enough. You could write your name on the leaves and use them as dinner placeholders.
I love that.
The words never come off. And the leaves keep growing and it stays there. So it's a really cool plant. And we're seeing them more here in Central Florida. They are tropical. They will freeze if the temperatures get too cold down below, you know, in the low 30s, below freezing for long periods of time. We will see them, but they'll recover and do just fine. Linda, thank you so much. She's loved the dirty word of the day, pyrophyte. Everybody's got to use it in some way this week. Pyrophyte, and she said, thank you, John Denver. I love John Denver. Howard in Apopka says, the lubbers are hatching like crazy. They are small, black, with an orange-red stripe, raid ant and roach, but won't when they get grown. So take the opportunity. So Howard is preaching my advice. If you see lubber grasshoppers, take them out, and stomping on them is really so gratifying. So take them out now, because when you see them in adults, they're laying eggs for next year. So it is run. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And I want to talk a little bit about cottage gardening, how to create a Florida cottage garden. And one, when you have cottage gardens, they're natural and free-flowing. To understand what they look like, think about the George Seurat's pointillistic paintings. You know, where there's all those little dots.
Yes.
And it makes a one big, huge picture. And so some artists like Paul Signac during Seurat's lifetime considered his paintings messy and complicated. But his critique of his final completed artwork was they were masterpieces. And that's what a cottage garden is. It's little plants, you know, one or two, three or four, that incorporate individual little dots, blending in a variety of shades and colors, and it creates natural compositions and displays the scene as one big, beautiful garden. And so to do that, you've got to be really specific about what kind of plants you use, because cottage gardens can also look messy and weedy and chaotic and hard to control and really high maintenance. So when you do a cottage garden, think about the size, the eventual mature size of the plant. Think about the color, what you're placing it next to, so that you have the colors blending nicely. And you also, too, can incorporate plants that have beautiful flowers and attract butterflies. So you have some hardscape plants, and by that I mean they're evergreen, they don't lose their leaves, and you want to blend the texture. So if you're using junipers as a ground cover, you want to have one or two here that maybe spill out onto your sidewalk, your pathway, your gardening steps, and then have the next layer, the next tier of plants behind it. And this could be, you know, 8 to 10 inches to 12 inches tall, and that the colors are either monochromatic, you can do it all in one color if you want, or you can do it in complementary colors, which is taking the color wheel and the colors directly across from each other match. And so if you're having a hard time thinking about what works well with the other plants in your garden, get a color wheel, look at the color opposite from the other color directly across the wheel, like orange and blue, or red and green, purple and orange. Those work well together and look good together because they are complementary. And then you want to add some white to it. Add some white flowers like your alyssum or white lantana. You could also do white butterfly, whirling butterflies, Garlanda heimeri. Those are beautiful in the garden, and they add interest, height, and texture. And it all blends well. Do a cottage gardening. It can be done and be low maintenance and beautiful and not messy. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We still have time for your phone call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. We'd love to hear from you. So Carol in Tallahassee, she sent me an email with a picture of a plant. She said, Teresa, what is this evil, evil plant? And it is a vine that has really thick thorns on it. And it kind of is evil. But guess what, Carol? It's a native. So that just goes to show you that not all of our natives are really good for our landscapes. And this vine is really very, very hard to get rid of because it has tubers at the bottom. And you cut it off and you try and pull it out, and it's so strong it won't pull out. And usually you break it and then it just grows back again. And so it can be down underneath the ground, buried as deep as 3 to 4 feet deep, and still survive. So how do you get rid of it? Well, Carol, you can go ahead. It's called Smilax, by the way, Smilax. And it has kind of like a turkey foot shaped leaf, rounded turkey foot shaped leaf. And the thorns on it, you definitely don't want to pull on it. And so you can use a number of different products, mainly ones that have brush killer herbicides in it. So you can get a Monterey product called Turflon, and then also BioAdvance Brush Killer, Southern Ag Brush Killer, Ortho Brush Be Gone. So these are all great products that will get rid of these very hard to remove plants that have tubers underneath the ground. So, yeah, Carol, take it out and go ahead and make sure that you could actually leave it in. You can cut it off. You can paint. You could leave it on, the leaves on, and just brush it and keep it in a plastic bag. That way it won't affect anything else and it will die. But follow the instructions on the label. The label's the law. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680. Here's some of my favorite cottage plants. Always drift roses. Drift roses only get 2 feet tall and about 2 feet wide. They bloom all year round. They don't need deadheading. Drift roses, blue point junipers. I love to have a conical shaped, smaller evergreen shrub in the garden, and blue point junipers do it for me. I love it. If you have a little bit more larger space, you can do Brodie's cedars. You can do other types of junipers, but I love the blue point. Then also crepe myrtles, impatiens, whether they're New Guinea or they're just regular impatiens. They've come out with varieties that are downy mildew resistant, so they do well in your garden. And New Guinea impatiens take full sun. Also, gardenias. I took pictures yesterday of two different clients' houses with the beautiful, beautiful gardenias in them. One just had at least 100 gardenias on them.
Oh, wow.
At one time. Oh, my goodness. It was in celebration, and it was just incredible. So I'm going to be posting that picture on our Facebook page. Then also buddleias. Buddleias are beautiful. They're called butterfly weed. They are very fragrant. Butterflies love them. And you can get the dwarf ones, like Lo and Behold, that don't get too tall and will look good in a cottage garden. Then also whirling butterflies. Whirling butterflies, Gara lindheimeri, which, again, it's just gorgeous in the garden. Then you want some grasses where you have the Adagio, Miscanthus Adagio, and then also La Manja Breeze, my two favorite ones. You don't have to deadhead those, so they're really good. Then also, then my final, rain lilies. Do you have any rain lilies?
I don't think so.
Oh, I'll have to bring you some.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Okay. Rain lilies come in colors from white, pink, yellow, and orange. They look like crocuses. And they bloom 3 days. Put it on the calendar and look for them. They bloom 3 days after a rainstorm. That's why they're called rain lilies. We do have a native one called Adamasco, which is beautiful. It is white. And it blooms after the rains. But I love the yellow and orange ones and the pink ones because they look like crocuses.
Nice.
They bloom all summer long. Hmm. Let's go to Scott in Palm Bay. Good morning, Scott. How can I help you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to know your thoughts on two plants, the red porterweed and also the Dutchman's pipe. What do you think of those two plants?
I love the Dutchman's pipe. It's a beautiful plant, and it's a Florida native down in South Florida, and I love it. Now, the red, say it again, the red porterweed, the red porterweed. It's okay. It doesn't attract the butterflies as well as the blue one does. So I tend to use the native porterweed that we have. And I find it works much better for attracting pollinators. But the red one is beautiful, too.
Okay, thank you. And they both like a lot of sun.
They both, no full pests. Sun. Full sun, and the Dutchman's pipe can take shade. So I would say afternoon shade. So that the morning it can get a little bit of light, but then it goes ahead and you shade it in the afternoon.
Okay. And one quick question, Miss. What can I do about way too many rabbits in my yard? Is there any way to persuade them to go to the neighbors?
There is a product from Messinas.com, M-E-S-S-I-N-A-S, Messinas.com. And they have wonderful products for deer and rabbits and rodents and all kinds, even geese. I saw some Canadian geese the other day there. And I just thought that was really weird that I saw them. Oh, I was up in Jacksonville, and so I saw some Canadian geese. They should be heading back soon.
I was like, are they lost, or are they just taking a tour of them?
But Messinas.com also has Geese Be Gone. And so check that out, and they do have a rabbit one. And they've got really good products. I like them too as well. And I don't get paid to say that. So, which I should. I should. All right. Thank you so much, Scott. Appreciate it. Yeah, I was just surprised. It was just two Canadian geese. And they were just sitting by the lake. And I'm going, wow, that's pretty cool.
They're checking out the fort and hanging out. Maybe they're eating at your son's restaurant, one of the
maybe,
other.
Yeah, but River and Fort. Check it out. It's a wonderful place directly across from the fort. 1-888-455-2967 if you're in the garden area. We would love to talk with you and just find out what's going on. Flowers right now. There are so many beautiful flowers. And pinwheel jasmine is one of my favorite. It can take sun or shade. It grows to be about 5 to 6 feet tall, but it literally gets no disease issues. And again, blooms in sun or full shade. Looks great. The stars on the shrub at night, I mean, that's what the flowers look like. So you can have it in your background, and it does beautifully. Also, too, the roses are going crazy right now. And, you know, they are just beautiful. You can get some really gorgeous ones at Peterson's Nursery today. Remember, they have a workshop going on fertilizer. And it's always good to understand gardening more fertilizers. And they're doing a program called What's in the Bag, Fertilizer Bag.
Yes.
So let them know that you listen to Better Lawns and Gardens and that you thank them for sponsoring it. We always like to have our sponsors appreciated because that's why we can come to you free.
Heck yeah. And also they're good people too. So
very good people.
That's where I got my Tibicina.
Tibicina. There you go. Tibicina is another great cottage garden plant. It's royal purple flowers.
It's gorgeous. And I was sold on it whenever, I think it may have been Scott who works there at Peterson's. And he walked me over to it because I've told him my favorite color is purple.
Yes.
And he goes, look at this. And I'm like, can I have 500 of them? No, not really. I took one, though, just to try to test and see if it's going to work in my property.
There you go.
And it's doing well.
It is. Now, there's two different varieties. There is the one that gets tall, and it gets to be a lovely sized tree, a small tree, about 8 to 10 feet tall if you let it go. But it usually gets to be about 5 feet tall. But they have a dwarf Tibicina that only gets to be 2 to 3 feet tall.
That's what I got.
And that's beautiful for the garden. I'd like to thank Randy Schultz, for home garden and homestead editor, for telling us about adaptive gardening. We have so many gardeners here in Florida that are senior citizens. You want to take care of your body and garden more, and that to do that, you need to be adaptive. So go and check out Tony Gattoni's adaptive gardening article on homegardenandhomestead.com and read what you can do. Get your Christmas gifts for your gardeners now. This is National Gardening Month, and a lot of gardening gifts in the stores right now. So when you see it, grab it, because during December, not so much. And right now, just get a little, you know, plastic tub and put it in there and mark where you put it so you don't lose it.
Put a couple reminders.
There you go. I'd like to thank all our listeners. We have such great listeners and text messaging. Thank you so much for everybody out there. If you're hearing this for the first time and your radio station doesn't have Better Lawns and Gardens syndicated on their station, please ask them to do that. We'd love to be on more stations and get to more people so they can know how to garden here in Florida. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Missed anything on the show? Go to betterlawns.com. I'm posting all the podcasts right now as we speak, and they'll be available. You can also check out this next week on Facebook. Teresa will update it with podcasts and much more of information.